Welcome, everybody. This is the Business Beyond Performance podcast. I am Joe Staub, and that is the swole Matt Powell.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. You've called me handsome before. Didn't really mean that much. This one might actually be true. This brings a little smile to my heart right here. And honestly, because of who we have on the show today, that's a great segue too. If you want to talk about somebody who's got some muscles, but also does a fantastic job of putting yourself out there and has a fantastic following, let's talk about Christy Sinné. Somebody that other people on Instagram might know is at Krispy Kremes with K's.
So knew of her through social media. She has a big following. Again, she puts out solid content. She's genuine in her approach. Again, in my opinion, social media can be a very interesting wasteland of things. So you can kind of tell real quick who's actually genuinely trying and who's just trying to make a buck. So came across her, didn't know her, you know, recognized, okay, she's real. She has substance to her. And then in me and you talking, we had access to her because you know her and she's awesome. She's amazing.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Somebody who's really down to earth. She was extremely kind with her time, very generous with it. And she also, I even asked her before she came on, I said, are you comfortable talking about the business side of what you do? And she said, nobody's ever really asked me about that. It's always about the training or about how she got such a huge following. And I mean, we touched on that a little bit, but to me it was, what's your next step? What's your next plan? For the people out there who are listening, who already have a decent following and actually want to take and monetize that, how do you do that? And she does a fantastic job of breaking that down. And she also is in that constant struggle for herself, and like in a very specific market to her, is that everybody knows her as at Krispy Kremes. Nobody knows her as Christy Sinné. So she was talking about her rebranding, which is another cool topic that you and her really got into because of your MBA and your background, and the ability for her to speak at a pretty high level about that was impressive, honestly.
No, very much so. And again, it shows, like I said, it shows she has substance. She has very deliberate thought as to why she's doing things, why she wants to do it this way. And again, at some point she's like, it was kind of luck, or hey, this happened. But it was like, yeah, it seemed like it was luck, but it was actually the hard work and the substance and the purpose behind it all, which, you know, again, like we've always talked about, people seem lucky sometimes, but there's a lot of behind the scenes that helps that luck happen. And she's obviously a great example of that.
For sure. And the other cool thing for me was being able to talk to her about Strongman. She had a competition coming up right after we filmed the episode. So that was cool to catch up on. And, you know, somebody who's competed at the Arnold a couple times in the world championship. So definitely somebody who could speak on many different levels, man. It was a great episode.
No, it was. So let's get into it, right? Episode 14, Christy Sinné. Want to say thanks to our sponsor, Strive. Nicole and the team at Strive have done what I think helps kind of close the gap in wearable technology by being able to measure the actual muscular effort or the internal load of the body and comparing that to all the external load, you know, speed, distance, G-force that someone is producing. You actually are able to see not only what someone did, but how they did it. And that how has been the secret sauce and the missing piece in my mind. It's kind of where the wearable technology needs to go. It's the integration of multiple monitoring modalities to derive a holistic measure of what someone did and then how they did it, which at every level, from the sport coach to the strength coach to the athletic trainer, even to the administrators and the insurance billing and understanding why and what's happening when people get injured, it's literally a revolutionary thing. So definitely something you should look into. Wearstrive.com. That's WearStrive.com. Want to give an unofficial sponsorship shout out to Dr. Jim Stepani, Dr. Tim Sheets, and Vince Andrich, the later of the two who have both already been on the podcast, and JYM Supplement Science. So JYM, kind of like Jim with a J, Supplement Science.
Yeah, absolutely. Great product. Something that we definitely have used quite a bit over the years. Great protein. And the thing that we both really appreciate about them is they actually have research behind everything. Dr. Tim Sheet, as you mentioned, who's been on the podcast before, went through and explained how they actually do the research, unlike most companies in the supplement industry. And they actually give out information that makes sense and they help people decide what supplements are best for them, even if it doesn't mean they go with their company. But they prove time and time again that science and the research behind it are the reason why these supplements work. And then they give those, you know, powering statements and empowering movements to help these people make the best decisions for them and their individual needs as a consumer.
No, and again, never hurts that they're UConn guys either. but no, definitely JYM Supplement Science. Check them out. Again, it's top quality products with the research to support them. And if it's a brand you're not familiar with, it's something you should be familiar with either yourself or your athletes.
For sure. Joe, if there is one unofficial sponsor throughout our entire podcast, all the episodes we've done so far, I think we're up to like 15 by now. Who would you choose?
Well, Matt, we're actually up to 19. And the reason I know is because I write it all down in my Rocket book. Right? So I got the little one right here. I got the full size one on the desk. Right? It's something I use every day in my personal and professional life. It's been a tool that the last 2 years since I found it has, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, has changed the way I take notes, has changed the way my crappy handwriting can be digitized into, you know, typed Word documents for ease of use to send in emails and everything. So I would highly recommend, if you don't know what Rocketbook is, check them out, get one, use it for a few months. I guarantee it'll change your life.
Perfect. Welcome, everybody. Today we have Christy, otherwise known as Krispy Kremes on Instagram. One of the coolest people out there for not only strongman and power building, but also just a badass woman who, you know, lifts heavy stuff for strongman, powerlifting, an amazing online coach, and somebody we're super excited to talk about. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. That was a good self-esteem boost. I'm ready to go like to a job interview or something.
That's actually what this is. I just didn't want to tell you until now.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to interview my Matt's replacement. So thank you for doing.
Yeah. I'm going to need this confidence booster once a week, please. Thank you. The intro was great. Yeah. No, I'm happy to be here. Yeah. This is going to be cool.
Awesome. Well, so you just told us you just came out of strongman training. How was training tonight and what are you training for?
Okay, so I'm training for Georgia's Strongest Man. I guess it'd be Georgia's Strongest Woman. I don't know. But yeah, so the events are actually pretty, I mean, I feel like they're pretty, I would say like kind of basic besides the safe press, which I definitely YouTube today. And I just watched Eddie Hall do it. And like, you know, they dip under and press it up. So I'm trying to figure out that technique because I was in between doing a push press it in it or doing the other technique. So I'm just figuring things out, but the training is going good. Now, of course I'm rambling about training, but tonight I'm not just like on the floor dying. It was actually pretty good. My coach took it easy on me. So that's good.
Good. Absolutely. And anybody who hasn't looked up the safe press, look up the Eddie Hall video or the recent Tom Stoltman video over at, I think it was either Giants Live or World's Strongest Man. I think it was Europe's Strongest Man, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. Hitting a 150 kilo safe press is no joke for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not that many videos out there either. I'm trying to find women who do it. Yeah. And, but yeah, I just trying to do it, you know?
Well, I'm sure you're going to be just fine. You've got plenty of experience behind you. You're going to be just fine. Right. So one of the other biggest reasons we asked you to come on the show, besides obviously being awesome, is we want to talk to you about how you've kind of taken your social media following and kind of monetized it and turned it into, you know, a growing empire, if you will. I mean, I know, you know, Gary, obviously, who's one of my favorite people and a strong man to hang out with. So tell me about how you've kind of grown on your own and now how you're kind of working Gary in as well.
Right. Okay. So it's funny when you say like monetize my Instagram, because that really wasn't more of a focus until recently, I think. Obviously, you know, I have my online coaching business where I do one-on-one virtual coaching. And I started that 3 or so years ago when I moved from Chicago, where I was a full-time personal trainer, powerlifting coach. I moved to LA. And so I was like, I want to get rid of my clients. You know, I need to keep them, you know, try to keep them and still have a job and also a little bit more freedom. I saw a lot of my friends in LA doing that, where they're doing online coaching. And luckily I was able to get online clients just by promoting myself on social media, because before that, when I had the one-on-one in-person personal training clients, that's when stories became big. I started to post like everything we're doing, and it would always be like, you know, I think like even I did conjugate a long time ago. So it was like some crazy stuff. And then, you know, my clients were having fun. We're always doing something different. I was really excited about powerlifting. So I started putting more educational content. So my following grew. So, And then when I moved to LA, it grew even more. And since I was just doing online, I had more time to focus on content. But really, all I was doing was all my money or like all my income was coming just from my one-on-one personal training or my one-on-one virtual training clients. And that takes a lot of time. And that takes like a lot of energy. And, you know, especially when to be a good coach, I talked to a lot of different coaches and some people have 15 clients, some people have 100, some people have hundreds. And, you know, I was getting burnt out at a certain number. And I just, you know, recently when I moved to South Carolina, I guess like 9 months ago, I decided I wanted to reach a bit bigger audience, makes things work for me a little bit more. And basically there's only one of me. So I was either going to hire more coaches or make different things that I could sell and make good, you know, material for people to learn from. And so that's what I've been really focusing in on now. So that's kind of like a little background. I feel like it was just maybe the like since I moved to South Carolina where I could have like a stability rather than struggling out in LA to actually work on these templates. And I started them when I was in LA, but actually work on templates, work on building a community and having more of like the time and the headspace and not just like, you know, grinding my ass off. And also I was really focused on competing. And so that took a lot of my time as well. And then COVID hit and I was like, well, I guess I'll just focus on work.
So you touched on some really cool stuff there. So one thing I think you touched on that we've talked with a couple of our other guests about, like we had Stan Efferding on, and we've had Jim Stepani on, a couple of, you know, icons in the field for sure. And these are people who have talked about, look, there's only one of me. There's only so much information I can put out to one or two or three or four clients, and they're amazing clients. And I want to see them do the best. And I want to be the best coach, like you said, that I can be for that person. But at a certain point, you can only do that to a certain number, right? Like you said, some of your friends have 15, others have hundreds. So you doing that doesn't make you less of a coach. It doesn't make you less of a person who cares. It makes you somebody who just wants to reach a wider audience. And that's just a personal decision you've made as a professional, as a coach, which I think is so cool that you're just owning it and saying, yeah, I'm still a really good coach. I put out great content. I have the ability to reach a lot of people. So I'm going to do that. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And it's taken many years to get to that point where I feel like I'm not selling out or I'm not like taking the easy way. When I was at my gym in Chicago, it was very like Midwest mentality of like, you work hard. We get here at 5 a.m. We leave at 8 p.m. All we do is work. And I still work hard, but it's like, I don't want to be punishing myself or, you know, taking on too much as well. So I've been talking to a lot of people like this podcast is great because we can have discussions about it, but a lot of people who are successful in this field. And I'm like, they delegate stuff. I mean, I do all of my graphic design. I do all of my marketing. I do all my advertising. And I'm starting to hire people to do that. And so, because I want to focus on the coaching, I want to focus on the connections with people. Like, I think that was holding me back and I finally am starting to get it.
And that's a normal common point that everybody hits, right? That's that linchpin is, again, going back, there's only one of you. So now you have to hire the graphic designer, the marketer. And that's no matter what field you're in. I feel like you said, there's that stigma that, oh, she's selling out. She's selling out. She actually hired somebody to do part of her business. Oh my God, what a jerk. But that shouldn't be it. I mean, you've done a great job of creating amazing content and now it's time to put it out there with other people helping you with the expertise they have. So I think you're doing the right thing and it sounds like you're doing freaking awesome for yourself. So congrats.
Thank you. I feel like I'm at that point where I'm about to do really good. So, I feel like we're always our like harshest critics and stuff, but people ask me questions about my success in this business. I'm like, I'm nowhere near where I want to be. And I actually just hired like someone to help me with content last week. So like, I don't have to be like, Gary, can you like, you know, record me doing this, please? You know, I can have that time and say, hey, like, this is when I work. Like, I'm going to actually focus on this because I want to teach these people this, or I want to show this, or, you know, talk about this. So I'm really excited about it. So I'm like, wow, now I have the resources to do that. So just reinvesting in my business. And I mean, it's fun. I like to do it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's actually, like I said, everybody goes through that, right? So for me, it's coaching as well. And then the other thing is real estate. So for me, it's about hiring somebody else to help me with what I want to do for my passive income, which is have rental properties and flips and stuff and hiring somebody to run that. So I don't think it matters what you want to do, right? Your side hustle, not even side hustle, your profession is right to be an awesome coach. And now maybe you create that other, you know, reinvestment or side hustle doing something else. But hiring somebody out and delegating that is going to be a huge part of you to reach that level you want to get to for sure. The other cool thing you mentioned was when you actually compete and you're a competitive powerlifter at a high level or a strongman, as we both know, it's hard to do that, right? Because you're putting in the hours and your training is not your content production time. Your training is not your time.
Exactly.
X, Y, and Z. And people think it's easy, right? Oh, there's just somebody following me around with a camera. That's not how it works, especially when you got tacky on, you're in the middle of the set, you got to run a whole medley, you got to reset the whole medley, plus you got to break up, clean up, do all that crap. So tell us more about that. What does a normal training day look like when you are getting ready for Georgia's Strongest Man or other big competitions?
So, I mean, the pressure's high, and I never had anyone following me around doing content for those for training days leading up to Arnold or Nationals last year or anything. You know, I didn't have any media people. I didn't have, you know, I just asked people for videos when I went got to the Arnold. I had no one with me. It wasn't the focus, you know, it was always a little bit stressful for me to get the content from that because I'm just setting up on tripod and it's really just not, you know, I have my coach there. I have other people there that are helping me. I'm helping them. You know, you got to get your tacky and all that stuff. And it was very stressful because I was actually like kind of pretty injured, prepping for those shows too. So just cranky, you know, I felt how it is. It's just hard. I mean, it was my whole life. And now that I'm out of it, I'm out of LA, I'm out of that space where I was just grinding. Cause all I wanted to do was get Arnold last year. That was it. And I made sure I got there, but like, I like broke my body doing it. And I, you know, made less money and I spent more money on competing. I mean, I just like put everything into it. So everything else, if you're that competitive, everything else becomes secondary. And I wish I felt like I was just working enough. So, I mean, I'm still working a lot, but I was just like, you know, having the same clients and not growing in my business. And like when I was forced to not compete because of injury and then because of the coronavirus, like I was able to put that competitive energy into something else. Which was my business, which was good. But yeah, with the normal training days, it was more so like, when I trained with a group, it was like, I was training with them. I'd set up a tripod. I always got tacky on my phone. I would record it, but it was, nothing was really content wise. I guess at that time I didn't really want a YouTube or I didn't really want, you know, those things that I'm like kind of going for a little bit now, but yeah, it was just, it's just a lot, you know.
Do you find a lot of similarities between your competitive nature and your ability to grow your business? Because I find that, you know, as a competitor, somebody who played, you know, Division I college football and then went into strongman, powerlifting, all that stuff, I use a lot of that, right? When I'm pissed off and I want to make something happen, I kind of dive into or dig into some of that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's made me realize everything falls on me. Like if I want to do something, I got to make it happen. And if I'm not good at something, I have to figure out how to do it. So, you know, if you just know that you're capable of doing anything, if you put the work in, I mean, then you can't really have an excuse to not do something you want to do. And that's also a point of frustration for me because I, you know, obviously I was like, put all my pressure on myself with success with the competing. And then I kind of do it with my business as well. Even though there has been a lot of growth, I'm still, you know, I don't have a background in business and I don't have a background in sports. So it's like, it's a lot of catching up. And so, you know, just focusing on like the goals you have in competing or in your business, it's really helped. But I finally feel like I'm in like a space where it's like, all right, I can kind of, you know, I've been doing strongman like 2 years and kind of look back and see what I need to work on, instead of just like freaking out and thinking I need to do everything. And the same thing with my business, you know, like what is like the most important thing for me to do right now?
So jumping on that, right? And that's thank you for coming. Cause most everyone comes on the show as they talk, they say five or six things. They're building so many little things. So we could take, I mean, I'm taking notes, obviously.
I'm so in it though. I'm so in strongman. I'm so in what I'm doing right now. It's like, it's hard not to, cause it's all I think about. So no, I'm like, can go on like five different tangents.
And that's the beauty of it though. So, right. So I got a bunch of questions for you. I'm going to hit you with the first one is,
okay.
Talked about, right? So you, coronavirus injuries, you have the time. So, you know, you reinvest, it's a word you've used, you reinvest that time into the business. So to do that, you said, you know, you don't have a background business, you don't have a background sport. So what was the first thing you did? Did you just go and say, every time I go, good step or a bad step, I'm going to learn from it and just keep going? Or did you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to read this book. I'm going to take this class. I'm going to listen to this podcast. What was your first step when you said, when you realized, all right, I have this time?
That's a great question, because it's like, it's, I'm just smiling because I am so impulsive and I just go. I'm going to go, go, go. I'll make mistakes. I'll fix them. I'll try something else. So I'm a doer and I always have to do something. So I honestly thought it was, the coronavirus was a great opportunity, because I know it sounds weird, but like, I was like, I can reimagine my business right now. So I did, you know, what I want. And it, so I kind of did that. I started with my first template. And of course I had to do it like blog style and put it, do it myself, my own website. It took forever. And so I did that and I put all my time and energy in that. And I just saw how it went. But it's honestly just been this year since now where I started realizing, you know, cause I just kind of went and I just started realizing like, hey, I think there's a smarter way to do this. So I have been reading more books and podcasts and stuff like that, especially on branding and looking into, you know, talking with business advisors, talking to people who do like marketing online and stuff like that, just having consultations, stuff with them, talking to more, asking questions more of my friends who own businesses in the industry as well. So I'm kind of doing it backwards. You know, I feel like everyone who starts coaching, like they're like, do I need an LLC? Do I need this insurance? Do I need this or that? I'm like, man, I don't even know how I didn't get arrested many times. Like, I don't know. I just did it. And now I'm, you know, making sure everything's all good and I'm running it, you know, the smartest way, but I'm like, you know, you could just keep learning forever. So, I kind of just went and now I'm trying to learn how to do everything the right way.
Nice. So with that, right. So you're learning, you said delegate, you just got someone to help you with content. What was the biggest personal challenge? So for me, right, one of the things, you know, again, for people listening, this is the first time me and you ever communicate. You have no idea who I am. I'm just a guy now on the screen talking, right? One of the biggest things for me, teaching other leaders and teaching other executives how to be better, was getting them to really embrace trusting to delegate. Like, hey, Matt, you're really good at this. That's why you're here. This is what I need you to do. Go do it. So how have you started to embrace delegating those responsibilities and trusting that, you know, it's going to be to your level? Because there's one thing to have someone do it, but it needs to be done to the level you want it done at as the boss.
I'm still getting there. So that's the one thing that I think you hit the nail on the head, like kind of still holds me back a little bit from delegating. Because I feel like I just know how I want it and how I can do it, although it might take me a lot longer or not be worth my time. So I'm currently working on that. And also, you know, I need to think about what is, like, obviously the content thing was huge because I did all my content before and I knew it could be better. So that was great because I already knew it could be better. But, you know, just figuring out what I need next and trying to choose the right person as well, I think. So I think it's very scary to bring other people into my business, although I know for a fact now, because I've talked to so many people and I've made that own realization that I need to delegate. So I don't have an answer for you, really. I'm in the process right now. And that's just something I'm working on, because I think that's the one, you know, one thing I could do that would really make a difference is delegate more.
And one thing, Matt, hang on, this is the last one I got for you. And then I'll kick it back over to my beautiful co-host. One of the big ones, Matt said it a few times and you guys kind of went back and forth on it with, there's only so much time in a day. So to give people listening, right, the context, you're still competitive, right? You're training for an event. You're growing your business. You're offsiting some of those responsibilities because there is only 24 hours in the day. How much, so a lot of people, and again, let me preface this big question with, I talk to people all the time. They want to start businesses, they run businesses, they're in business, and they always want to get it done in 1 hour so they can do whatever else they want to do, because somehow they think that they can do it all in an hour. So how much time does it actually take, right, for you to do your thing. And if you wouldn't mind, give me that from the beginning where you, you know, we talked about a little bit, you moved to LA, you're going to now where you're still going. It's just going a little bit of a different way. How much time is that for you?
All day. So, in LA, I feel like I wasn't as, good with my time management, because there was a lot of driving. Like I would drive to a gym and it would take me like 2 hours. I'd be like, go meet a friend at a gym. And it would just like, traffic was awful. And I also didn't really have as much of a schedule because I lived by myself. I was just kind of like in a new city. I did have friends there. So I'd go to different gyms and lift and have fun and just like do my clients throughout the day. I didn't have as much of a schedule. So but I was always stressed because I always felt like I had to do things, because my online business was just starting. You know, I built my own website. I was coming out with merch and all that stuff. So it was kind of constant, but I didn't schedule things very well. And so when I moved to South Carolina, then I was super competitive. So I would always train at like 10 a.m. So I wake up, eat, kind of chill, train. And then I work after I trained. And so it was just kind of an all day thing. And with now that I moved, it's like Gary also works from home. So I have a schedule. I just make myself wake up when he wakes up. And then, you know, I make breakfast, maybe I walk a little bit, and then I work from 9 until 4:30. But I take a lot of breaks, but that's how long it takes. I do a full work day. And it can be so many different things, but you know, I have a schedule. I have certain things I need to get done. I might shoot on a certain day. I might shoot like demo videos for clients. I might be doing anything, but yeah, it takes me all day. And what's great is I have a work schedule, and then I can actually after work, then I can focus on training. And then I just like eat dinner and I'm like, try to have a normal life, which is, I've never had a personal life before, for a long time, at least. Like I have not had a personal life. So I think it just took, you know, living here and being in a relationship to actually like separate myself from work. Although obviously Gary is also a competitor. He's also involved in my business. So I always talk about it. He's here all day. Our desks are like just 10 feet apart from each other. So like, Gary, look at this. What do you think of this? Or like, my client's doing this. Can you help me? Like, what would you tell this person? You know, like go back and forth because it's interesting. So yeah, that's me talking a lot, but that's good. No, I'm going through a lot right now with my business. So there's a lot to talk about. But that's a big change. So yeah, I mean, for me to run it all myself, it takes all day. Luckily now I just told myself, just don't do all day. Just like, it's okay if you don't post a story at night, like you put your phone away and like, it's so great. Like best thing ever.
It sounds like you've built more systems. You know, you went from, you're in it. You're just living it, breathing it. Mm-hmm. Like we all know you have to be, right? If you want to be good at anything, there is no off switch. It doesn't, again, you can't do it in an hour. So you had that period where it was like, ah, and then you found that moment where it's like, okay, let me put this in a box over here. Let me put this in a box over here. Do this better over this way. Do this, give yourself time, you know, training at night, having a personal life, doing all the things. So you're always on, but you're just more efficient and you're more streamlined. And that's another huge thing for people in the business space that I've always found is just because you work 100 hours doesn't mean you did 100 hours worth of work. You know, you can put the time in, but that doesn't mean you got an outcome, especially if you don't have the system and the processes and kind of things. Like you've said, you've developed, hey, I learned this, I failed here, I fixed this, I kept forward, but I kept going. So again, huge things that people don't even get out the gate. They're like, well, should I do this? Or do I have time to do that? Or, you know?
Right. No, I totally agree. And it was very overwhelming when I didn't have those systems in place. Nice. So that was my life, you know?
So you had said that your business is growing and obviously you're doing huge things. You said it's not where you want it to be. Where do you want it to be?
That's the thing. I want more people involved. I want people to be excited about my programming. And that's why I brought out Team Creams, which is my like strength programming. That's like constant on, you know, you're on a team, people are communicating. And I really realized I love that. I love the community aspect. I like people being connected together. So I want to grow, you know, teams and groups like that, and just make them, make it bigger, and better. So I'm really liking the, even the creative part of, you know, building that up and, you know, keeping people excited. I just love it. I like seeing those reactions, and like, that's what I'm really fired up about right now. So growing that.
That's awesome. Do you have a specific business goal in mind as far as where you want to get to, as far as maybe number of people you get to work with, et cetera? I don't want to say number of clients, right? But maybe people you get to influence or get to actually have an impact on as far as their fitness or strength goes. It'd
be nice to have like 1,000 a month, just like constantly. You know, I have never really thought about it before, but, you know, I know that there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, I talk to a lot that are at least even doing things that I'm promoting or telling them to do. And that just makes me happy. So at the end of the day, like, I've been really focused on growing my business this last year and like pretty much obsessed and actually more focused on the financial aspect. But if I like take it back, it's like, I just really enjoy when someone goes, oh my God, I tried that. It was, you know, so hard. Or you know, said something like this and it really helped me. So, you know, I want to keep doing that. And, that's the one thing that people keep asking me. And I'm like, you know, I think that's the most frustrating thing for me right now as well, is like, where do I want to take this? You know, I do love the fitness industry and I love strength. So I think I'll be doing this for a very long time.
Very cool. So you have Team Creams, and you're going to have many teams. So, is it Creams Community or the Community of Creams?
The Community of Creams. I know, and it's so unfortunate that was my Instagram name for forever. Like, I don't even know, because I think that's the one thing that without branding right now that I'm running into the issue is, so people come to me for one-on-one coaching because they feel connection with me as a person. And usually that's at Krispy Kremes, you know, and, how long am I going to be at Krispy Kremes? How long am I going to be a person on Instagram? I don't know. And then also, you know, right now I'm trying to rebrand like the umbrella of all of my programs and stuff, so it's less confusing. That I want people to feel like they're really a part of and they can rep, you know, that's not Krispy Kremes. And, so that's kind of what I'm struggling with right now, because what's identifiable and marketable and branded is Krispy Kremes. So, you know, the personal brand is it the same or is it separate than my coaching brand? Yep. So I don't know.
Speaking of, right. So you had, you know, you said you started, it was kind of organic, you were doing it, and then you started to kind of get a following and get people, and you liked doing it. So it was kind of a natural thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. And now you're at the point where you are building it. You know, you've gone from that, the passion to the business, right? So, and again, you don't have to get into actual dollar figures, you know,
right?
Percentage, if you had to give a percent, reinvesting, going from that passion up to the business, are you taking 10%, 50%, 120%? How much of what you're doing from a financial standpoint are you actually driving back into the business of it, you know, in whatever way you're doing it right now? Obviously, you said in developing.
It's hard because it's like, you know, what do you qualify as like business? Cause I feel like my whole life is just revolved around this. So, cause I could be spending all that money on other things probably. But I would say before like 100% and now like 85% to 90%.
Yeah. Nice.
Improvement, moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Improvement, maybe less. Well, so like, it's hard to say too, because right now I'm also making more money on sponsorships and, like influencer deals. So, which is something I'd never really explored before. Cause again, I felt like it was selling out, but I get a lot of offers now. So I'm able to kind of choose which ones like align with me more and that I like. So that's also part of my income, but I wouldn't say it's part of my business. So I've been mostly investing that money back into my business. So maybe my numbers are skewed off, but it just seems like a lot because I'm like, take that. And then I'm like, all right, well now I feel like I have more freedom. Like I don't have to worry and I can just use this money to grow myself a little bit more.
Absolutely. But that's what smart business people do. See, I think you have way more business experience and business, you know, thoughts than you give yourself credit for. Because you're talking about reinvesting, but you're talking about reinvesting a small portion of other revenue streams you already have coming in, right? So you've got this other money coming in from other opportunities. And now hopefully that leads to another opportunity and another one. Then all of a sudden there's 10 streams coming to one pot and you take a little bit and reinvest in each one to get more. So it sounds like you really know what you're doing. It sounds like you don't give yourself enough credit on that part.
Yeah. I'm with Matt on this.
I definitely don't because I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having fun doing it. And I've definitely seen a lot of growth. So I feel like I'm doing the right things now. So
I think it goes back to the original comment at the very beginning, the competitiveness, right? Like you are natural. I mean, we're naturally competitive people. So, you know, you can do it, but you also question it and so it's kind of that natural, you'll never believe you're as good as you think you are because you just know, like, I mean, we all know there's always someone stronger. There's always someone better, no matter how high of the mountain you get. There's always literally the person behind you who's going to get one step higher. So, I always look over my shoulder. I'm like, all right, as soon as I think I'm the smartest person in the room or I know everything, like, where is it coming? Because I'm dead. Like I'm gone. You know, I'm
going to get it.
So.
Right. No, I relate hard. And I think also, especially, I think this one would say with me and growing my following, and we all know this, you know, does someone with the most followers make their knowledge more valuable? Are they stronger? No. So the fact that I do get more attention online makes me feel like, okay, well, I'm not strong enough or I'm not business savvy enough, you know, to match that level of attention I get. And so I think maybe that's why I'm a little bit hard on myself. Not saying I feel bad about myself. I don't. I get, there's definitely a lot of perks and I get attention, like, yay, you know, but it's still like, it helps me with my business. Right. But it still, makes you think, okay, like is my level of success of my strength right now, you know, what people see online is that, you know, they think, oh, she should be stronger or she should be more successful or is her business doing better? So I feel like, you know, there's always comparison there with any other, you know, people online too and businesses as well. Not saying that's a huge thing I struggle with, but that's definitely, I think, a reason why I'm saying like, well, I'm not that great right now, or I'm not like the strongest person. You know, I'm not a pro strong woman or anything. So yeah, there's definitely humble on that part.
Nice. No, hey, you have to be. I got one, Matt, before you can jump back in. So how much of this in the social media age is data? So how much are you looking at metrics, you know, click-throughs, people, you know, what is it, impressions, you know, people actually buying your stuff, how much impact you have, your sponsorships, you know, hey, you know, Matt, your company's going to pay me to sponsor this and I did this and I can take that as a business case and turn around and say, you know, hey, Bob, you know, I need X amount of money now because I can prove to you that, you know, my influence actually has dollars. How much of that world have you gotten into yet?
So I've definitely taken a lot of screenshots of my analytics and stuff before for people, but I end up getting an agent and they deal with that just because it's hard to like argue with, you know, analytics to people. I mean, it's awkward. It's like, this brand, you might be able to squeeze this dollar amount from this brand because they're huge and only this dollar amount. And, you know, so I just like let him do it. But today I did go through and like make a deck for someone about the analytics and stuff like that for different brands. But for my brand, I like to look at how many shares I have, what people are interested in, but I don't take it as seriously just because I don't really like that side. The conversation I have with my agent, like he's a really nice guy, but it does seem very like, you know, the way the brands communicate and stuff does seem just like, it's all about engagement and this and likes. And, it, you know, I don't want to be feel pressured about my, how my social media is doing, because then I'm more pressured to put out just content or put out something I don't really care so much about. And then at the end of the day, I need to look out for my own brand and what I want to put out there. So I'm not totally all obsessed about it or always know, but I'm always looking at, you know, certain things. I'm definitely aware of it. If my engagement's down, if I'm getting less likes or shares, you know, it's definitely, it's a competitive, it's still a competitive market, but I've had to remove myself a little bit from it because I want to mostly focus on the quality of my content, to reach the people that I'm actually trying to speak to rather than anyone else who I don't know why they're following me, you know?
No, I think you have the right idea. I mean, you know, it's out there. It's something you kind of look at. You're not, it's not what you, you know, live and breathe over, but I mean, I'm with you all the way. I reiterate what Matt said. I think you're way more well-versed than you're letting on. You're being very humble about it. Quality rules. I mean, like you said, to begin with, like, people need to know you and, you know, build a relationship with you and then things happen. So yeah, I'm quality over quantity any day.
Right. Yeah. Do you feel it's crazy.
Do you feel like a lot of people in a similar situation where, you know, they have a similar social media following or a similar business model to you, do you feel like they've lost that kind of passion that you seem to still have where you care about that person or what you're putting out to them?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think that could happen to anyone too, because some people, I think were always out to get that. I think they were always out to maybe get the attention or the free stuff or the money. But I feel like when you're a coach, like when I started as a personal trainer, I mean, I just wanted to be a personal trainer so bad. I didn't think about how much money I would make until I was like, oh, I'm like, upper 20s and not making any money and I'm burnt out, or I'm making money, but like, I can't work anymore. I literally can't work anymore. It's impossible. So that's why I had to change my business model. Just because I'm like, it's not working for me. And then this last year is more of, so I'm going to change my business model because I think I'm a really like good coach and I care. And like, these people are doing this good. And I honestly think like my shit's better. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel, is like, well, I deserve a piece of the pie too. You know, I want to build something that I'm proud of, that my clients can be proud of. So, but yeah, people lose sight of it. And I don't think everyone does. And I think people who like seem to lose sight of it are people just wanted that anyway. And you know, I lived in LA, so I know.
You're trying to say everybody in LA isn't amazing? Because I don't know if I believe
it. I actually had like some really good friends in LA, and
it's just easy.
No, I know, but like still, it's very, you know, everything's about the content, and I'm getting more content focused, so I'm a little bit like paranoid about it. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to get too content focused, because then like anything can be content. But that's the thing. It just, content's, but they say content's king, and then it just like, you become obsessed.
One thing you referenced earlier that I thought you just brought up beautifully right here was that you said when you were in Chicago, right, you kind of had that Midwestern roots, and you're kind of, you know, being somebody who lived there for a couple of years like I did, plus Ohio. I know what you're talking about, right? Those people are told, hey, you're going to wake up early, you're going to go to bed tired as hell, you're going to wake up, you're going to do it again. And there's kind of that thought process that wealth is bad, right? Getting really rich or wealth is a bad thing. And you should feel guilty about that for some reason. And obviously if you bring religion into it, that adds a whole nother mess of crap on top of that, where people think that same thing or other, you know, ideologies. So how did you kind of come to terms with the idea that wealth is not a bad thing, getting to that point? Because that's something we talk to. I know Joe and I talk about this all the time on the podcast, young strength coaches, dietitians, athletic trainers, people like that, people in the performance field, all go through that, right? They're in their late 20s, much like you were. And we were making $20,000, $40,000 a year as a director of performance or something similar. And it doesn't make any sense. You have all these degrees, all these letters, all this experience. You worked with NFL, MLB, NBA, whatever. And yet you're still not making any money. So how did you come to terms with the fact that, hey, I deserve this. I am empowered and I should be able to go make the money that I want to make.
So when I was a personal trainer, You know, when I switched to online, when I moved to LA, it still wasn't money focused. It was still like, I'm burnt out. I need to get out of here. I need to get out. I need to grow my business. I didn't even know what it meant. I just wanted to get it online. It seemed like, one of my friends out there had more freedom. She was doing the same thing. And you know, that kind of just inspired me. Now to the switch to be a little bit more like financially driven was huge for me. Like I'm so, that's like my biggest achievement is like being able to like say, I want to make more money. And that itself was something I had to get over. And when you're talking about that, I don't even remember what the point was, but I think it's because I started hanging out with, you know, I started meeting more people who were successful in the field and like hearing the types of things they were doing or what this person's doing, and the money involved. And I was just like, I'm over here, like just paying my bills, paying myself to do strongman. Like, I mean, what am I doing? I mean, I'm going to be, you know, I turned 30 last year. Like I'm turning 31 in a few days. And I'm also just
happy
like,
birthday.
Thank you. I'm also like, yeah, turning 30 in a few days, like, but, or 31 in a few days. But I think, yeah, I think that was just the age thing kind of really got to me. And I turned 30 in my apartment alone in LA, you know, when the virus first started, and it just was like gross and had cockroaches. And I just like was barely making it. And I was like, all that, you know, everyone thinks I'm so successful and what do I have to show for it? Like, I don't, like something needs to change. And, you know, I need to make that change. And it didn't mean I was a bad coach. I was an awesome coach. I still am. But I mean, I'm not a charity anymore. Like I, you know, I'm just not. I feel like my time's a little more valuable. And it took me a long time. I'm like, I think I just had to put in a lot of time to realize like, all right, well now I can charge it. Like I just raised my prices for the first time this year. And that was a huge deal. That was really hard. But once I did it, I think I just felt like, I felt the pressure release. I was like, good. Like you did it. Wasn't a big deal. Like,
That's an awesome moment and an awesome thing you did, because you brought up a great point too. You said earlier that you kind of didn't want to farm out your stuff, right? Because you didn't want to pay for it, or you didn't want to take money out of this, or you didn't trust somebody. But now that your dollar rate's gone up, when you look at some of those menial tasks, right? Like somebody holding a camera or somebody maybe doing the graphic design component that you're doing, things like that, all of a sudden your hourly rate that you want to charge for yourself is way above what you're paying that person. So maybe that's a good way to look at it too, is you're reinvesting at a cheaper rate to get the same quality or even better for what you're already doing.
Exactly. No, I think that's a great point there. It's just crazy how like we're talking about all this and it's like all this stuff I feel like I just figured out.
Well, I'm glad you came on, because we're going to charge you later for the counseling.
Okay. And therapy. Okay. Thank you. And the motivation and the ego boost. Thank you.
You're welcome. Gary actually paid us to bring you on. So just so you know.
There we go.
Where's my cotton at? What the hell?
Yeah, shh.
Like, get me out of his hair for an hour. I'm like, so what do you think about this? We're together all day.
All day.
No, that's one of the biggest things. And I actually had this conversation with two, mm-hmm. one person who I work with, who's new to the job and is trying to find the balance and helping the people of his previous job, and another person who used to work for me. And, you know, I tell people now, look, I have my day job, right? Then I go home and I have my family. For me, it's my, you know, my wife and my kids. So I'm happy to help you. I'm happy to take time, right? I'm happy to do this kind of stuff, but there's a cost. And it's not because I'm a dick. It's not because it's about the money. It's because, right, tonight, I didn't get to put my kids to bed and read them stories. So there's a price for that. So you can pay their college fund. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's not rocket science. Like, I don't care if you don't like it, but my time is value. And that's what I'd rather be doing, but I can't, because tonight I'm doing this with Matt. So, but it's one of those things, like when you really establish that value to your time, and you know, you said, you know, I have a personal life now. I have this, you know, like I have, my time has value. In order for me to give you my time, there's value. Like, sorry. I mean, I guess that's just a very big, like, people sometimes it's like a thing. It's the commercial, it's the money, it's the sellout. Like, but hey, like, you know, you're taking me for in personal, you know, if you're taking me away from my wife and kids, you're paying for my kids' college fund. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And I mean, that took me a long time to realize. But you always hear the time is valuable. Like, but I wasn't realized until I guess I valued my own time. Like, I had like a little bit more of a life besides competing and, you know, caring about my clients. It's all it took. And then I was like, all right, I guess I get it now. And like, it's a good thing because everyone else values some time, their time. Everyone else charges for their services or, you know, their expertise. So no, I definitely get it now. Nice. I'm there with you.
There all seems right, to be so, something magical. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. There seems to be something magical about your like late 20s, early 30s when you start having either bigger expenses or, you know, whether it's kids, wife, whatever, or you have more expensive hobbies. I bought a classic car because I'm an idiot. So all of a sudden your money and your time becomes way more valuable. So sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, that's for people like us, Matt, who aren't athletically talented enough. She's still athletic. She has enough physical talent to actually be competitive. Don't fool yourself. I know you.
Average at best. Average at best. That's all I got.
Hey man, story of my life. All right. So not to keep you here till 11:30. I know the Zoom invite was that long. We won't. So big three, right? So we always wrap up every conversation because everyone we talk to is just a little different. They come at it with just a little bit of a different way. So we want to always kind of bring everyone back to the same three questions. That way, you know, we can kind of compare and contrast how they answered, you know, whatnot. So first question, what is the best thing you have ever bought for $500 to $1,000? And that can be for your business. Just what's the best thing you've ever bought between $500 and $1,000?
Oh my God. You should have prepared me for these questions. Cause now I'm like, what am I doing?
We are great. Oh my gosh. You're going to answer this in 5 seconds. It's
going to be okay. Good. Thank you. That makes me feel actually a lot better.
Maybe if me and you keep talking, we'll just keep this thing going until she gives us an answer.
I know. I feel like I have a better answer for this, but my camera that I first started using for doing my own videos, my editing, like the quality of the camera helped a lot with my content. And, you know, I feel like the quality of stuff is everything. It was like the first like big investment I made in my business, I think.
Quote unquote big.
It's a Canon. I still have it, a Canon G-Shot. And I need to upgrade now. That's actually on my list this year to upgrade my camera.
So you're reinvesting again. That's smart. We like it.
Yes.
Stan Efferding, he actually said the same thing. He actually said his, I think he said iPhone camera, but same idea, his camera for the quality of his movies. So.
Oh my God. I feel good. Okay, Stan. So besties now.
When this gets posted at this moment in time, I will tag him. So that way, he's an amazingly awesome guy. So when he sees this, I will make sure he does.
Okay, great.
It'll be
I feel like I might have met him. I probably shook his hand before at, it was in, is it San Francisco? No, Sacramento, at a powerlifting event.
Nice.
The end.
Definitely something Stan would be a industrial on that dude.
Yeah.
It's a good place to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So who coaches you and why does that person coach you? Like, what do they bring to the table for you?
Oh, that's a good question. So Gary and I were doing our own programming up until about 4 months ago, just because we're like, we need someone to push us in our deadlifts and our overhead mostly. So we hired the Dirks. So Adam and Kim Dirk, and it's awesome because, you know, there's two of them, you get both their expertise. There's a male and a female. And I feel like there are some differences in strongman training, just a little bit. And so they have, you know, a wide variety of expertise. Adam's really good at deadlifting. I feel like Kim's really good at overhead pressing. And so yeah, that's been working for us for the last 4 months. And they also have a more of a like bodybuilding, powerbuilding, like accessories. That's been really kicking our butts. So like Gary and I put a lot of volume in our programming for like the mirror muscles and stuff like that, but they're like six sets of everything almost like. So this year has been big for my physique. So I'm like, you guys go. Good job. Thank you. Because everyone's just kicking my ass with bicep curls.
The Dirks are well known for the strongman community. And then obviously Gary's Instagram handle is Gary Biceps. So
I know. I mean, we measured my biceps the other day. We're like, I should have measured them when I first moved here.
At least an inch or two. Just by being close to him.
That's what sure. I feel like. For sure. So yeah. So those are my coaches.
Last question, and then Matt gets to wrap it up with all the normal stuff. How do you find balance? I know we talked about it a little bit. You know, you kind of systematize, you put some things, you have a work day now, then you work out, then you have personal time. But how do you find balance? And the first part is, how do you define balance? What does that mean to you? Because to everyone, it seems to be a little different.
So balance, I didn't really know what that was. Until recently, for me at least, because I never had it, because I filled all my free time since I was always alone too. And it's not like I was alone or lonely, but I lived alone. I trained alone often. You know, I really just kept myself occupied with my business and Instagram, honestly. So for me, balance is honestly being able to shut off when I need to, like having the option to say, you know, I don't need to respond to anyone right now. Like I was a good enough coach all day, you know, like no one needs advice at 10 PM right now. And I don't have to, you know, my Instagram will survive without me for 12 hours. You know, the balance is like having that freedom of turning off and knowing that I will resume my responsibility when I'm ready, because, you know, I know that I'll still be able to do the job. So that's balance for me. It's just knowing that I can shut off and I have that option.
In this day and age, I think something people don't do well. I actually found myself the other day taking my phone, deleting a bunch of apps, I actually deleted Instagram off my phone just, you know, basically for the next month. Don't even have it there. Cause for me, I'm just one of those people. If it's there, I'll use it. So being able to shut off in the way in which you shut off for you, it's literally disconnecting from the job in which you do, you know, it's huge. And I think more people need to be able to do that and kind of.
Yeah. More time, like in the present of what's happening right now and not thinking about what I need to do later or what's going on the internet, which is fine. That's definitely part of my job. And I do like to do it, but like, I guess now I finally have a reason because I kind of have more of a personal life. Like I've lived with someone and we like can just put our phones down. I needed that. And now I know I'm capable of it. So it's helped me a lot.
Very nice.
No, great answer for sure. Chris, you've been a wonderful guest. We don't want to take any more of your time. I know you got to go eat some food, hopefully, and then get some sleep.
Snack sure. time. Another, yep.
Exactly. Another big training day tomorrow for sure. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find out more about you?
So ChrissySinead.com or on Instagram at @crispy_creams with a Z.
Nice. And we will make sure we put that up. And especially if by the time this launches, the rebranding has happened.
No, it probably won't.
I'm throwing it out there for you.
Thank you.
We will make sure that it's the newest and best connection wherever you are.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sir, perfect. Sir, thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thank you.
See you.